Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims, and with us this morning, Christina Folsom with the East Texas Human Needs Network. Lots to catch up on today. Christina, good morning. Great to have you with us as always.
Good morning. Thank you, John.
Don't forget, In Focus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/InFocus. In Focus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Christina, East Texas Human Needs Network been going since 2012. Everything started around, I guess, August or September of that year. Time really flies. You've been going for over 6 years now.
That's right. It's hard to believe that it's been that long.
And I am actually a member of the East Texas Human Needs Network. That's just my usual disclaimer. Every time we do this show with you, and we have done several, I'm not able to really get to the meetings too much, but at least we get to catch up about once a year, roughly, on this show, and you get a chance to tell people what you're doing and what you're all about. One of the main things that's changed, in the beginning we were calling you the founder or the network weaver, but you've kind of moved up in the world a little bit. You are now the founder and CEO of the East Texas Human Needs Network, and that was what your board of directors decided. You didn't used to have a board of directors, so that's another thing that's happened over the past few years.
Exactly. We started out as a volunteer organization. For the first 2.5 years, we were not a 501c3 charitable organization, a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. Once we became a nonprofit, then we have a board of directors, we have a tighter infrastructure, and all of that came about the fact that we were growing so much, and simply we couldn't continue to grow if I was the only one running mm-hmm. the organization. We needed to have some staff to support not just the work that I was doing, but the work of all of the nonprofits that we work with.
Mm-hmm. And you can also raise money, and we'll talk a little bit about that as well during the course of the show. Getting back to basics, tell us, because a lot of people know, but a lot of people are maybe hearing about you for the first time, what is the East Texas Human Needs Network? What do you do? And what prompted you to get this whole thing rolling back in 2012?
Well, let's start with what prompted it. What prompted it was I had been the executive director for PATH mm-hmm. in Tyler, People Attempting to Help, for many years. And although as an organization we partnered with many other organizations, it really came evident to me that people were falling through the cracks simply because we didn't have strong formal relationships with other nonprofits. They were very informal. And somebody came into the organization having 5 needs. We often were able to refer them to other organizations, but not always at the level, what we say, a warm referral, of who is actually doing what and knowing who to call. How do you pick up the phone and call another organization and know exactly who to talk to and say, I'm sitting here with Susan and Susan has these needs. Can you help her? As opposed to just saying to Susan, Susan, here's an organization, here's their phone number, and here's their address, and sending them on their way. So the warm referrals were critical. And we found that there were people that were not getting the help that they needed simply because they didn't know that some of the resources existed in the community. So bringing together all of the nonprofits was the key to making sure that we knew each other, and because often we're serving the same individual. So that's how we started the Human Needs Network, was bringing all of those nonprofits together to build relationships, to learn from each other, and to ensure that our clients were being served. Since that time, we've continued to grow. Like you said, it's been 6 years. Over 90 organizations are now working together. And there are 3 main things that we do. Number 1 is what we call collective action. Number 2 is understanding poverty. And number 3 is the 903help.org, a social services directory, an online social services directory. So collective action is what brought us all together. Mm-hmm. Doing research, determining what the needs are of people in our community. And then we developed councils to address what the greatest needs were in education, employment, healthcare, housing, and in transportation.
So 6 years later, you've come a long way and you are continuing to grow, more people getting involved,
yes.
More agencies?
More agencies are continuing to join us. It's over 90 organizations having started that social services directory, I think even made people much more aware of who we are and what we do. So other nonprofits jumped on board. that had not been working with us in the past. That social services directory, I think, has become the foot in the door, even in other communities. So we now have a human needs network in Cherokee County, based out of Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
But we are expanding to Anderson County and to Rusk County. Even in this next month of December, we will have community luncheons where we will bring all of the nonprofit sector, local government, and congregations together to see how we might be able to assist the community in building a network of nonprofits so that those who are in need are better served.
Mm-hmm. And I understand you're doing some consulting in Dangerfield and Morris County as well?
That's right. Morris County Collaborative was established not long ago, and they're working to improve the health and the well-being of their community. They have a great collaborative started. They recently attended a summit that I believe we'll talk about in just a minute, but they're learning so much more about the issues of poverty and how it affects every aspect of one's life and how we can intervene to help. And so Morris County is asking us to come in and help do a needs assessment, a comprehensive mm-hmm. community needs assessment, to build networks and councils, to learn more about poverty, and also to build a social services directory for them.
Okay. Talking to Christina Folsom on In Focus this morning, I'm John Sims. Christina is the founder and CEO of the East Texas Human Needs Network, or ETHNN, often known, or maybe now always known as almost always known
yes.
as Ethan. For
as
sure.
Ethan, yes, that's right.
The address is 4910 High Tech Drive. If you're driving east on Shiloh Road past Paluxy, if you're headed east and you make a left not too far after that intersection, you will see you will be on High Tech Drive. That's where that is. Phone number is 903-216-3211, and the website is www.ethnn.org, and I recommend the website. So much information on there, a lot of the information we're talking about today, and then some additional information we may not be able to get to in a whole lot of detail. So I certainly do recommend that. Now, you have had different formats for your regular meetings. Starting in 2019, I believe you're going to be going back and dancing with the one that brung you. How are the meetings going to be, the regular meetings going to be formatted, I guess, starting in January?
Starting in January, we will begin meeting only once a month with all councils at the same time. So we've changed. This past 2 years, we've had 5 council meetings, each at a separate time, once a month. So we're going back to having one meeting, 2 hours long. All councils come together. We start with a general session. We break out into councils to do individual work, and then we reconvene. So every month we will all meet together. It's going to be the third Tuesday of the month from 1 until 3. Third Tuesday of the month, 1 until 3. Everyone is invited, whether you've been a participant of Ethan in the past or not. Everyone is invited to the table. And as soon as we have a location confirmation, we will have that posted on our website and through social media.
Okay. And who should come to these meetings? If you've never been before, just anybody who's interested in the material we're talking about today is just welcome and encouraged to show up?
Absolutely. You know, we're all one big family, truly. So anyone who is curious about why does poverty exist? How is it that it's so complicated? How is it that it's the one thing, you know, we've put people on the moon, we've addressed polio, and somehow we can't seem to address poverty. So people are confused about it, curious about it, and so anyone who's curious about poverty, how it affects education and employment and healthcare, housing and transportation, how it affects our individual lives and our community, everyone is invited to the table.
Okay, and that's 903-216-3211 if you want to make that phone call and find out a little bit more. You can also go to that website, www.ethnn.org, or you can just show up at the meetings. And again, it's starting in 2019, once a month, all councils together, third Tuesday, 1 to 3 p.m., location to be confirmed and announced at the appropriate time. Christina Folsom, our guest this morning, founder and CEO of the East Texas Human Needs Network. I'm John Sims, and let's get to a couple of, actually, the reasons that we decided to schedule this show when we did. You have just wrapped up 2 big events. One of them you've been doing for 11 years now. The other one, I think maybe you've had events similar to it before, but never with quite the same players, and never with a key player like you had this time. Let's talk about that first. Just recently, earlier this month, you had Ray Perryman, the internationally known economist. We're familiar with him because the Tyler Economic Development Council and the Longview Economic Development Council, along with similar groups around the state, bring him in every year to give an assessment of the economy on the local, state, and national levels. And he talks about some of the challenges during these get-togethers, but it's usually a rosy economy for our area. And you wanted to bring Dr. Perryman in this time to talk about the other side of the coin, some of the things that aren't so rosy. What happened? And it wasn't just him. It was an all-day conference, so we can talk about that. But what did Dr. Perryman bring to the table and make people more aware of when he came to visit and be a part of this poverty conference you recently held?
Well, it was interesting when we told people that we were bringing Dr. Ray Perryman in to speak at our event. They seemed puzzled because what they know of him is he's giving us every year our economic forecast for East Texas and for our region. And it usually is a positive economic forecast simply because as a community we do well. But there is another side, and that it's not usually covered in his January presentations, and that is there are a lot of people living in poverty, and that is affecting our entire economy. And what he was bringing to the table was research on if we address poverty, if we address the needs of children, if we address educational attainment, that all of those things will have a positive return on investment for the community as a whole, so that for every dollar you put in, you get $1.40 in the community. And he didn't have printed data for us to look at. And he often doesn't have a presentation that he shares because he's so knowledgeable on the topic. I'm hoping to get more details like that from him and to actually have those to be able to share with others. But he was able to tell the community that if we don't address poverty overall, our community hurts.
All right. Very good basic message. And about, you say, 300 people showed up at this meeting, so
that's
they
correct.
All got to hear him say these things.
Yes, yes.
And
the rest mm-hmm. of the day was powerful in that we had local experts speaking about the reasons, the complexities of poverty, the complexities and the connections between poverty and mental health, between poverty and health and poor health outcomes, between poverty and low educational attainment, poverty and homelessness and why that happens, poverty and employment or lack of stable employment. All of those topics were touched on by panels, in six separate panels of discussion with local experts that are working, actively working within the Ethan organization, but in their own organizations with a level of expertise that we tend to think we have to go to other communities for. Well, we don't. They're right here. They're very knowledgeable and they're working hard. So it was a way of getting more people to understand the issues.
All righty. So 300 people show up. They get to hear from Ray Perryman, and they get to listen to these panels and interact with one another, of course, which is always the case. What do you feel, based on any conversations that you had during or maybe right after that conference or since then, what do you feel people at this point have taken away? I know there's still some work to be done. You need to do some follow-up work with Dr. Perryman. What have people taken away from that so far?
There tends to be a stigma, a bias when it comes to people living in poverty. We often think that it's all about individual behavior. And I think what came out of that was the recognition that it's not just individual behavior, although that plays a role, but that it is also about what is available in our community. It's about exploitation, like the payday lenders, for example. It's about, do we have enough jobs that pay high enough wages or have benefits? It's about so many more things than just individual behavior. I think that's probably the biggest thing that came out of it. And we usually call that an aha moment. Did you have an aha moment? And without question, we did session assessments in every session. Everyone said they had aha moments during those conversations.
A couple of things. Starting maybe a year or two ago, you really began to emphasize that poverty is just is not simply about not having a lot of money. Can you define poverty, maybe in thumbnail form, while at the same time telling how it goes beyond just not being wealthy?
Yeah, so poverty is the extent to which one does without resources. And money is only one resource. And in fact, it's the resource that comes about when you have strength in the others. So one resource is the ability to learn. The ability to learn and apply is a tremendous resource that people living in poverty must have. That having a healthy body so that you can take care of yourself and others. Having the emotional strength to persevere in these times where you may have lost hope. So handling your emotions. And also the need to believe in something bigger than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's also a resource. It's what gives you hope and keeps you getting up in the morning and taking another step forward. So there are many resources. Money comes about after those resources are stable.
Okay, very well put. Talking to Christina Folsom, founder and CEO of the East Texas Human Needs Network, or Ethan. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. Contact information, www.ethnn.org, 903-216-3211, address 4910 High Tech Drive off East Shiloh and Tyler. And you might want to make a note that full council meetings are coming back in January. They'll be once a month with all councils together and then breakouts into individual councils, education, employment, healthcare, housing, and transportation. And also, I understand, a separate breakout session for people who are new to the game. You're doing that differently now. You used to have special training for people who had never been to an Ethan meeting before. Now, you're suggesting that they just show up at a regular full council meet or all councils meeting and join the breakout session when the time comes so they can learn some of the basics.
Exactly. What we will do is we will have a short breakout with just me explaining to them who we are, why we exist, and telling them about the data that we've captured over the last 6 years. And then they can decide which of the councils is best for them.
Okay. That'll be on the third Tuesday of every month from 1 to 3 in the afternoon, location to be confirmed. We have just been talking specifically about the poverty conference, and there was one thing, there was a quote that I happened to catch in the paper when I was reading about it the next day, and I think it came from Walt Whitman, "Be curious, not judgmental." That just seems to pull so much of the work you do into a few words.
It, absolutely. It's the quote that I use in every single meeting, in every training that I do, in every conference that I attend, because it does so much for us, right? Be curious, not judgmental. When we don't understand why people do things, we tend to be judgmental. When we're curious and we really pause and stop and think, why would someone do this or say this? And really pause and stop and think.
Mm-hmm.
What we come back to is, in that moment in time, based on the resources and the knowledge that they had in their surroundings, everything is relative, they made the best decision they could make.
Mm-hmm.
And it may have been a different decision than what you would have made, but it's based on what resources they had available at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So be curious, not judgmental. Another quote that I really like is that relationship is the sledgehammer that obliterates every societal difference. When you're curious about something or someone and you get to know somebody that's in that environment,
mm-hmm.
if you're worried or curious about homelessness or worried or curious about somebody of a different race, You simply don't understand, or people in poverty. Once you get to know someone, a lot of those differences go away.
Mm-hmm. Okay, again, just wrapping up our conversation specifically about the poverty conference that was held on November the 8th, and I guess you had a little bit of time to catch your breath. I hope you got a decent night's sleep, because the very next day you are at it again for 2 days, and this is the 11th annual, going back to the days before there even was a Human Needs Network. I think it was done under the auspices of the Homeless Coalition that used to meet back in those days. I was also a member of that. One Night Without a Home. Tell us about that, and tell us how it went this year.
This year was unusual. It was actually after the 11th year, but the coldest night that we had in all of the events that we had ever scheduled. 114 people had registered to participate. Because of the cold weather, I think only 72 people actually showed up and registered that night. We ate at the Salvation Army, and then we walked together to Fun Forest Park. Usually we have a series of speakers. Also because of the weather, some of those speakers who are themselves experiencing homelessness were not there. And yet we had great opportunities to talk about homelessness, to understand it, to do an exercise we call the privilege walk, to do the candlelight vigil, to celebrate the lives of those that were, you know, to remember the lives of those that were lost to the streets. By the time we got up in the morning, I think we had gotten down to about 42 people. We lost so many overnight because it was so bitter cold. They simply walked back to their cars and went home. People mm-hmm. were just too cold to handle it. And then we went further and collaborated with Hunger for Love that meets under the bridge on Saturday mornings mm-hmm. to provide food and worship to those experiencing homelessness.
That's on Gentry Parkway, I believe.
Yes, yeah. Gentry Parkway. That's right underneath that bridge. Uh-huh. And so by the time we got there, I think we had about 25 participants. So it kept getting smaller and smaller. And the reason was it was so painfully cold outside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you can imagine, or maybe you can't, it's hard to say, it's hard to put into words. I imagine that you can at least get an idea of what it's like to be homeless and to be living in those conditions and to not have the option necessarily. Some people do. Some people are able to find cover in the Salvation Army. They may have heated tents or something. I don't know exactly.
Yeah.
But people who don't have the option of getting up and going home because it's too cold.
Yeah. And it's the reason why when we do the event, we actually walk about a mile and a half away from the Salvation Army mm-hmm. in hopes that people don't feel like they have a choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they can get up and walk back a mile and a half by themselves in the dark into their car and to go home. But this was the first time that that actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time. The cold was, it was uncomfortable enough for people to actually walk in the dark for a mile and a half back to their vehicles and go home.
Mm-hmm.
For those who stayed, there were tears in the morning. People were so cold. They were scared. They hurt. All of their joints hurt. We also learned two of our participants were diabetics, one type 1, another one type 2. And they did not know until that morning their glucometers will not work when it's that cold.
Oh, my gosh.
So that was another sort of scary moment for many. Overall, it was a great learning experience, and we do a lot of conversation in the morning when we all get up. And what came out of it is, wow, I didn't realize it was this hard and that this can happen to me and that I might not have access to a shelter. And what would I do? A recognition and an understanding that people living in poverty are really just one paycheck away or one accident away from living on the streets.
Mm-hmm. And you have continued over the years to get a lot of participation from college and now even some high school students who are in the early college high school program with Tyler Junior College. So you're getting that young element involved, people learning early in life, and we would hope looking ahead to many, many years of concern and engagement with everything that you're doing through Ethan.
Right. And you know, that is our hope, that there's greater understanding. When there's greater understanding, you're much more likely to build relationships of respect, mutual respect. And it's through those relationships that you can help affect positive change in people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you have those positive relationships, there's a bit of judgment there. It's very difficult to have a positive outcome with someone that you're judging.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Christina Folsom with the East Texas Human Needs Network, I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. You can reach Ethan, East Texas Human Needs Network, at 4910 High Tech Drive off East Shiloh. Phone number is 903-216-3211. Your website is www.ethnn.org, and you're going to be starting to have regular meetings once a month on the third Tuesday of the month from 1 to 3 in the afternoon starting in January. Got a few minutes left in the show, and good time for me to encourage everybody to check that website, because there is so much that you do that we cannot possibly get into detail about, and also always an opportunity to get involved. Anybody who's interested in this topic can just give you a call or show up at one of the meetings. Also, we mentioned earlier that you're a public charity exempt under IRS code 501c3, so you can donate money to the East Texas Human Needs Network, and it's easy to do. Just check the donate link on the website, as you do with other websites that you of organizations that you donate to, and it's a real easy thing to do. As far as understanding poverty, you have a couple of exercises, the poverty simulation and bridges out of poverty. Poverty simulation is kind of like one night without a home. People go through a day's worth of activities that are experienced on a day-in, day-out basis by people living in poverty. And you're doing this at least two times a month now, I understand. Do you have any regularly scheduled, or is it done pretty much on an as-needed basis?
We have open to the public and regularly scheduled poverty simulations and bridges out of poverty classes every other month. So we have those going on all the time. But we have had such a, there has been an embrace, I guess you would say, from the healthcare industry more than any other, and education industry. That we are doing a lot of private sessions for classes of Bridges Out of Poverty with up to 25 participants in each class, and then the poverty simulations. We've trained over 400 people in Bridges. We've trained over 2,000 people now through poverty simulations.
Yeah, we didn't really talk too much about Bridges Out of Poverty. If you can kind of thumbnail that and explain just basically what that is and how it works.
Bridges Out of Poverty is actually an 8-hour course. It helps us to look at the world of poverty, middle class, and wealth, looking at those sort of cultural patterns of behavior that occur in those different economic classes. It helps us understand why people make the decisions that they do, understand that their decisions may be different and that they're not right or wrong. That's based on their environment. We often clash the economic class, the environment, and the culture of economic classes. We often clash when we integrate poverty and middle class. Mm-hmm. And middle class is found in every school, in every nonprofit, in every business. It's how we operate. So understanding why people make the decisions that we do is the reason we teach Bridges Out of Poverty.
Okay. And you mentioned 903 Help. That's the part of your organization that you used when you mentioned that there are 90 organizations listed in your help directory, and so you say there are at least 90 nonprofits involved with Ethan. 903 Help, tell us how that works. That's something you started a little over a year ago, and it's just a way for people using the internet to find the resources that they need.
Exactly. It's a very user-friendly tool. You go to 903help.org and you can do search in different ways. One way is simply like a little Google search. There's a search box. You put in keywords and you find information. There are also search sections or buttons, everything from abuse and neglect to veterans' needs to mental health, housing. There are 17 different areas in there where you can find information. And then there's also a help form. And the help form is a tool that you can use to do a self-assessment to determine what your greatest needs are. And when you use that tool and you fill out that form and you submit it, you immediately get a return of which organizations in this community, based on what you said are your greatest needs, can help you. The information that you get for each organization is more than just this is PATH and this is our mission statement. It is very detailed. For every service that they have, there's a description. There's also a phone number and an email and a address. There are Google Maps embedded in the directory. So it's become a great tool, not just for people who find themselves in need, but also for the social services providers who are sitting with someone who has needs beyond what they can help with. They simply go on 903 Help and they do research together and they find which organizations can help.
Mm-hmm. Which answers the question, what if you don't have internet access? Chances are your caseworker is going to, and that person will work with you. And again, you can always call Ethan, 903-216-3211, or if you do have that internet access, www.ethnn.org to get more information. Kind of wrapping up the show, Christina, and just to sum everything up, the East Texas Human Needs Network, it's been going for a little over 6 years now, since late summer, early fall of 2012. You are continuing to grow, continuing to look for more participants. And again, 903-216-3211 or www.ethnn.org for all the additional information you will probably need. That is our show for this week. But Christina Folsom, founder and CEO of the East Texas Human Needs Network, thanks for stopping in and getting us up to date.
Thank you so much, John. It was a pleasure.
You bet. Christina Folsom with the East Texas Human Needs Network, our guest this morning. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. Thanks for joining us, and see you again next week on In Focus.